Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Dobiak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Dobiak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money better, and I have some topics that I think will be useful this week. We're going to talk about markets and tariffs, which is absolutely the big story. We're going to talk about some Social Security offices potentially staying open, and that's good news. We're going to look at bonds and how they react to interest rate moves. And then again in the Ask Peggy segment, I'm going to do a next steps segment, because that is the question I'm being asked from everyone. Peggy, what do I do now? So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This was for the week that ended Friday, April 4th, 2025. And it's important to know that the losses for the week only happened on Thursday and Friday. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of last week, the markets were up. So the declines I'm going to give you were two-day declines. The Dow was down 7.86%, and the S&P 500 was down a little over 9%. The NASDAQ was down a little over 10%, and gold was down a little over 2.5%. Oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price was down about 15.25%. Current price of a barrel is $60.56. That was as of Friday. Things have been very volatile all weekend. The dollar dropped by 1.21%, and the 10-year Treasury yield dropped by 27%, which led to the aggregate bond, AGG, exchange-traded fund, going up 0.83%. So for the week, the aggregate bond fund went up because interest rates went down. The Bitcoin exchange-traded fund that I'm trying to use to be able to get prices that are as of market close rather than including futures values, up 1.92%. The big mover of the week was the volatility index, how uncertain people are about the market, and it was up 109.28%. And that is because when the tariffs were announced after the market close on Wednesday, they were much broader than anyone anticipated, and they were much larger than anyone anticipated. And what I mean by that is more countries were impacted by tariffs, and the tariffs were steeper than expected. And that becomes very obvious when you look at the market movement of the last 2 days of the week. Now, I'm taping this show about 10:30 in the morning, Central Daylight Time, and it's been a wild morning in the market, with the Dow getting down way below 1,000 points. And then there was some kind of good news rumor that just for a moment sent all of the indices up, so that I think the Dow was up 400 or 500 points. Don't exactly hold me to that. And then almost immediately things dropped back down, but not as low as 1,000. And when I came in here to tape, because I have some deadlines and I needed to get the show taped, things were better than they had been, and they were better than they had been right after it had fallen back down. But really, right now, the markets are all over the map. Now, if you're terrified, and I'm going to talk about this again in the next step section, but I would encourage you to look at your portfolio, because even though the NASDAQ was down 10% last week, I suspect you don't just own the NASDAQ. I suspect that you might own some of the S&P, which was only down 9, but I also suspect you may own some bond funds. So the AGG is an aggregate bond fund, and it's an exchange-traded fund. And it was up a little more than 0.8%, which isn't a huge increase, but it's an increase. And so if your risk tolerance level is like moderately aggressive or moderate or moderately conservative, and obviously conservative, you likely own some bond funds. If you own a target date fund, you likely own some bond funds in that fund. So if you're really panicking and you're afraid to look, I would encourage you to look because the news may be a little better than you were expecting. Yes, you've lost money. Yes, you've lost quite a bit of money. And I am not in any way discounting that. I know people are freaking out right now, and I am trying to come up with some things that will make you feel better in a world that is so uncertain that Jerome Powell, the chair of the Federal Reserve, when he spoke on Friday, said that the impact of the tariffs was potentially larger than had been anticipated, and that they were going to have to wait to see how things played out. But look at it. Don't stare at the market all day long, every single day. Go out and live your life, because there is at this point so much uncertainty about what to do that taking any draconian action is something you should think about and talk to your financial team. And we'll talk more about that later. So here's one of the problems that's going on right now. With the tariffs, which means things cost more, there is likely to be inflation, right? Because things cost more. When things cost more, that is by definition inflation. And when the economy tightens up, and there are a lot of leading economists and market folks, and I'm going to talk about them here in a little bit, who are suddenly quite concerned about how things are going to be this year for our country. When things get tight, people have a tendency to lose their jobs. Now, both of these events are awful. People losing their jobs is awful. Inflation is awful. And here is the problem. The Federal Reserve has two competing tasks. One is to help with unemployment, and one is to keep inflation under control. The problem is the activity that you have to do to take care of both of those at the same time are counter to each other. When people lose their jobs, you lower rates to help stimulate the economy, to help improve the job market. When things are inflationary, you raise the interest rates to slow down the cost of things going up. That's what happened back in 2022 when we had the oil situation with Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the Chinese issue of having COVID that lingered longer and then supply side issues. That was why we had so much inflation then, and the Fed raised rates, which is why it costs more to do things. So one of the questions that people asked Jerome Powell on Friday, because I listened to the speech, was what do you do if they both happen? And the term for that, by the way, is stagflation. And if that sounds a little familiar, we had it back in the 1970s. It's pretty uncommon, but we could be headed back toward that. And what Powell said is he has to look at the situation that is going to be the most sticky. In other words, which issue, unemployment or inflation, is going to be harder to address, and that's the one they have to address. Because they can't raise and lower the rates at the same time. So it's another reason why, you know, I think there had been a rumor of a 90-day pause in the tariffs, and I think that's why the markets went up so fast. But then immediately that rumor was quashed, and so the markets came back down, albeit not as bad as it was. We are in a very odd time right now. We really don't have to be in this situation. There is a difference between a tariff and running a trade deficit. A trade deficit just means that we buy more from you than you buy from us. But the United States has been a service industry-oriented society for a very long time. We are not a manufacturer industry society. We've been service for a real long time, which means we run trade deficits. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong with our economy. Doesn't mean there's anything wrong with doing what we're doing. To bring all of that back, first of all, nothing is in place to make that happen. And then remembering that the overseas goods are much less expensive than anything made within the United States, that would also be inflationary. So we need to be really careful with this, because I don't believe it's going to turn out the way a lot of people think. It's not just me. So PNC Financial Services says the U.S. economy is in good shape at the start of the second quarter, but the ongoing trade war has increased the risk of near-term recession dramatically. Capital Economics, we see U.S. GDP growth slowing to around 1.5%, but the risks are to the downside, and we would put the odds of a recession at about 30%. U.S. CPI inflation now looks to jump to 4.5% later this year. Deutsche Bank is also saying that inflation is going to go up and recession risk will rise materially if the tariffs are sustained. And then Morningstar, which is the big analytic firm, the tariff hikes announced April 2nd, if maintained, represent a self-inflicted economic catastrophe for the U.S. We haven't yet published a full update, but we'll likely be reducing our U.S. real GDP growth forecast for 2025 and 2026. The upward impact on inflation will likely be of a similar magnitude. That is from their chief U.S. economist. And I'm going to provide a link to this article, which has these quotes in it, both in the podcast and on the radio show download page, so you can look at this. So this is not, none of these people are progressive. None of these people are liberal. They're very much pro-business, typical Republican Party, pro-business, pro-growth mindset. And they are not pleased with what's going on. And we're just going to have to wait and see how things resolve.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I will admit to you, as I was looking at legislative update topics for the week, I was looking for something that would give us some good news, because after that first segment, we could all stand just a little bit less to worry about. And it is possible that field office closures for the Social Security Administration are no longer on the table. There has been some recalibration. Remember, it started that they were going to cut the phone service, and then that was reinstated, but they were going to close offices. Well, now it's looking like the office closure may not either happen at all or may not be as bad as what we were afraid it was going to be. And the reason we were afraid it was going to be bad was because they said it was going to be bad. They said what they were going to close, and it was going to cause a real issue for seniors. You know, when you change the rules where things have to be done in person and then you close the office, it makes it impossible. Now, again, they've reversed some of that. And there are more things now that don't have to be done in person than there were. But here is something you can do today that is proactive for your long-term financial success, and it doesn't have anything to do with the stock market. If there's anything related to Social Security, then you want to go ahead and take care of it while the phone is working, while the offices are open. And I have a feeling potentially there was so much blowback here that it might not be as bad as we at first anticipated. Now, I also know that there were announcements of, you know, what they were going to have to cut to provide the tax cuts they're wanting to do later on this year. and doing it without touching, you know, Medicaid, which I realize is not Social Security, but it's still another government financial service, seems difficult to pull off. But if there is anything that you can do right now to handle any situation that you were thinking about doing. So, for example, maybe you were thinking about changing banks. Well, if you have direct deposit into your bank account, then you will have to change where your Social Security check is going. Maybe you like the old bank better than you thought you did. But these are things you can be thinking about and organizing. And I really do hope that this story that I found, that the branch offices are more likely to stay open. I hope that's true, because I know how really super difficult all of this is. And it just feels like you look left, you look right, there's stuff just going wrong everywhere. I would caution that you don't want to let looking at the market make you be oblivious to other things you need to be keeping up with. So remember to download your Social Security payment schedule. I know a couple of financial people have said that's silly, but it doesn't hurt you to have the records, right? I'm not saying you need them. I'm just suggesting that you have copies. So I would do that. I would take the steps I could. I'd do everything I could right now to control my own financial situation so that you can reduce your stress as much as possible.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I've talked about this topic before, but in light of everything that is going on right now, when I was talking about the market being down while bond funds are up, but with the potential for stagflation, I want to talk about what happens with interest rate movements and fixed income items. Now, fixed income items in your portfolio are most likely bonds or bond funds. So here's what happens, and we're going to start the story talking about an interest rate movement and a bond, a plain old bond, not a bond fund. So let's assume that you have two 10-year bonds. And the first 10-year bond that you bought a while back pays 3%. Okay, all of this is hypothetical. It's not related to any actual numbers today in the market. But you own a bond and it pays 3%. Now, let's say that interest rates go down. And let's say they go down by an entire percent. Again, not likely to happen, but just easier to talk about. So rates go down to 2%. Now, your bond that pays 3% is more valuable than the equivalent bond that pays 2%, right? Because you're getting a percent more interest a year. So to make those two bonds equal in value, because they ought to be identical, they're the same bond, they just have two interest rates, your bond that pays 3% is going to go up in price until there is a parity between your bond at 3% and new bonds at 2%. And that parity depends on a lot of different things, including how many years the interest is paid over, how long the bond is, how likely the bond is to move to interest rate moves. So it's a complicated formula. It's called duration. But the short version is, if you have a bond that pays more than the current rate, that bond goes up in value. Now, let's take the reverse situation. You have a 3% bond, and new bonds come out, and they're paying 4%. Well, your 4%, your 3% bond isn't worth as much as the 4% bond, right? So the only way you can make it equal is for your bond to drop in price again until it reaches parity with the other bond. Now, here's something to know. Most bonds sell for $1,000 a piece, and if you hold a bond until it matures, all of that internal movement during the life of the bond doesn't count. It's going to mature to $1,000 nearly always, okay? I'm talking in generalizations. Most bonds are issued at $1,000. They mature at $1,000. You get the interest rate for the period of time. That's how bonds work. So if you buy a bond that pays 3% and you hold it until it matures, then you're going to sell it probably for $1,000. Here's where things get squirrely. Most people don't own bonds. They own bond funds. And a bond fund trades bonds. So if new interest rates are 4% and your bond is only paying 3%, it is very possible that whoever is managing the bond fund is going to sell the 3% bond to buy the 4% bond. But remember, the price dropped. So when that price drops and you sell a bond, that bond fund goes down in value because the bond that you sold was worth less. Two words, it's not worthless, it's worth less. And that makes the fund go down. So when you're watching a bond fund, when rates are dropping, you'll see the bond fund go up in value. When rates are increasing, you'll see the bond fund go down in value, which was why in 2022, many bond funds did as badly as the stock market did that year, because the Fed had to raise rates to get a hold of the inflation. And by the way, that the Fed is tasked with full employment and manage inflation. That's their job. They're not allowed to ignore it. They're not allowed to do anything else. That is what our Federal Reserve does. And it works remarkably well. Just once in a while, it gets painful. So when you own your bond fund and you see it go down, it's because rates have gone up. But here's where it gets even worse. as though it weren't enough fun already. Too many people believe that the bond side of their portfolio is safe. And it doesn't have the same standard deviation as the stock market, okay? So if you measure risk as purely standard deviation or how much it deviates around its standard return. That is what standard deviation is. So how much does it go up? How much does it go down from what you're expecting? It does have a smaller standard deviation. However, it has specific risks associated with it. Now, right now, as interest rates are dropping, because there is an expectation, I've heard it from two or three different sources, that the Fed's going to cut five times this year. Now, I listened to the Fed on Friday, and they said no such thing. But people think it's going to happen. So if it does, then the falling interest rates are good, and the bond funds are going to do great. Kind of like what happened back in 2008. If you owned a 10-year treasury fund, you did fairly decently and really helped offset some of your losses from the stock portfolio. If, however, the Fed becomes concerned that inflation is going to create a bigger problem than unemployment, they're going to start raising rates. And when they raise rates, just like they did in 2022, bond funds are going to drop in value. So what am I telling you to do? I still think that being diversified between stocks and bonds is a very good thing because typically they have different risks. And last week, your bond funds really helped out your portfolio. But this doesn't mean you should put everything in bond funds and go stick your head under a rock because there are risks in the bond market. Now, here's what I find about people. If they're expecting a risk, they can generally handle it pretty well. It's the risk you weren't expecting that can just nail you to the wall. And because a lot of financial folks have indicated to their clients that bond funds are safe, then when they drop, people panic and they sell potentially when they shouldn't. that makes the bond fund drop even more. So there's a little bit it should go down because the bond fund has to get to parity. But then when people see it dropping in price, they have a tendency to glom on and oversell. And now the bond fund goes down a lot less. I mean, a lot more. So what I want you to know out of this is, yes, stocks and bonds are generally not very correlated. They can move in opposite directions. Right now, bond funds are doing a very nice hedge against the stock market. You know, market goes down 10, bond funds go up 0.8%. That's a good deal. You just really want to keep up with the economy. And how you keep up with the economy is you listen to my show or you listen to other nonpartisan, so I'm talking about the boring channels, folks who talk about the economy and specifically talk about interest rate movements, because that is going to be one of the easiest ways that you'll have to see what's going to happen next.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And so I want to give you some next steps that you can take today. And my first recommendation is do not overreact. We don't know how long these tariffs are going to be in place. We don't know at what point positions can be reversed. In fact, in the 30 minutes that I've been taping the show, there could have been an announcement. I don't think there has been, but there could be. And if you get out at the bottom of a market, 100% out, then you've locked in losses. Now, I'm not telling you you can't sell anything. Okay, I know you're going to hear a lot of financial people who are going to tell you not to do that. I want to give you advice that I think you'll take. I don't want to give you theoretical advice and then you just go off and do what you're going to do. If you're going to sell something, sell cautiously. Really think through why you're selling it. Know why you're doing it. Don't just go in there slashing and burning. And you've absolutely got to have a system for getting back in the market. So if you want to trim your equity position by 10%, this is just a scenario, then you need to know when you're going to put it back, or you're not going to be on track to meet the goal for that portfolio. So I don't want you to make a decision now and then kind of forget it and then realize in 5 years you never actually put it back. Be aware, like I talked about in the last segment, that different asset classes respond differently in market conditions. And you may want to do a little bit of studying, try to get a sense of correlation. Remember that when things are really bad, correlation gets much more close, which so things that might give you diversification otherwise don't necessarily diversify in really down markets. Correlation is not stagnant. Remember to look at your portfolio. It may not be as bad as you think, but I want you to take mental health breaks from the market as well and from the news in general, because it can get really overwhelming right now and really depressing and really difficult. So you need to go outside, walk the dog, pull a weed, play some pickleball, read a book, watch some junk television. Do something to help you keep your mental health. We will get through this, but you've got to take steps to take care of yourself in the process.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.